Hannes said to me, what are you carrying? And I said, I think sometimes, Hannes, we weak in our fight against the devil and all his minions. We weak. We've got to learn to be women, men and women of faith. We've got to learn to fight. Every time something happens, you cry in your pretzels, you know. Oh, woe is me. Nobody else is going through. Sound like Elijah, you know. I'm the only prophet left, you know. Kill me, God. Now we've got to learn to fight. And so these guys all preach these words. You know, defending your faith, more than conquerors, stuck in the valley, pressing on, remaining in the fight, the name of the Lord, putting into deep water, everything. I thought, why did I say what's on my heart? They didn't leave me much to say. So while I was just contemplating this, and it's 1:45, I'll remember the time now, because 35 minutes, eh? I'm only starting now. It's my introduction. I thought, I'm going to ask some questions and then try and answer them. This is what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, fight the good fight of the faith. He said this in 2 Timothy 4:7 at the end of his time. I have fought the good fight. I fought it. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. So I want to ask some questions. And the other questions, who are we fighting? The Bible says, you know, fight the good fight of the faith. Who are we fighting? Second question is, what are we fighting for? What are we fighting for? Is this life just one big fight? Surely I came to Jesus and now it's fine. But what are we fighting for? When do we fight? When does the fight start? When do I fight? How do I fight? And am I qualified to fight? Hannes used an analogy that he got from somewhere, because as preachers we say, I heard this or I read it once. And then the second time we use it, we say, I think I read it somewhere. And then the third time we say it, I can't remember where I saw this. And then the fourth time we claim it. Because that's what good preachers do. We lay hold of these things. And he said, faith is like getting into the boxing ring with somebody who can really box and then blindfolding yourself and believing there's no opponent. And you get beaten up bad. So I want to answer the questions. Who are we fighting? Who is it we're fighting? Well, there's three things we fight against. Essentially, there's the world, not the earth, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's who we fight. And the world, Johan, jy moet nou lekker wees, broer. Op jou skikke, want die ou man as hy begin, then it is hard to stop, eh? So you're with me. You got to go. Okay. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Powerful words. For everything in the world, listen, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. 17. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Our choice is between the world's lie and God's truth. Our choice in life is between the lie from the world and God's truth. The battle or the fight is in the mind and it never stops. The battle is in the mind. This is Paul's encouragement and instruction to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22. For the evil, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, love, and peace along with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And then it goes this. Is there no more? No, go there, don't go. You're giving me away. The temptations, the lure of the world for us to succumb to those things is big. It's very big. The lies of the world are our fight. Paul wrote with sadness in his heart to Timothy when he said this, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Do your best to come. Demas was with the Apostle Paul, and the world still seduced him. You can hang with the best, but the world can still seduce you. So you have to learn to fight the world and the desires. You have to do that. You can go and get help, but I can't fight for you. I mean, I'm trying to fight for myself. I'm old now. They said kneel. When you're my age and you kneel, you're down there and you think, well, what else can I do while I'm down here? Because getting up now is quite a thing. You don't do that to old people, man, honestly. But the world catches you. Even if you're walking with the strongest of men or women, it can seduce you, it can take you, it can get you into its grip. Do your best. That's what it means when he writes to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I love this. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. There's a translation called the Phillips translation, and it uses this expression. Don't get squeezed into the world's mold. And I'll give my age away, but when I was young, we used to make plaster of Paris thingies. What do you call them? We had molds, and they were rubber molds, and you get plaster of Paris, and you remember, Andrew, thank you, help me. And you mix it up, and it becomes like a liquid, and you pour it into a mold, and it sets, and then you take the mold off, and there you've got a little rabbit or a little kitty. And then you paint the plaster of Paris. And that's what happens when we get squeezed into the mold of the world. We begin to behave. We begin to act like the world because we've been squeezed into its mold. That's what it says. Don't do that. Don't get squeezed into it. Put it back up, Johan. He's listening. Then he says this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, perfect will. We fight the world. We fight the flesh. The flesh. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. The flesh is, we've got to fight this thing. It's not my physical flesh. I mean, I like what I look like. God made me like this. I am unique. I've got a fingerprint nobody else has got. And so are you unique. God formed you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. You older folk, can you believe that? All those years ago. And he knit you together. And he made you like he wants you to be. Now, some of us are a little bit out of shape. Who cares? We're so worried. I go to the doctor. He says, I must take your blood pressure. He said, well, your blood pressure is good. Take my sugar. No, it's actually good. Take my heartbeat. He said, have you been sick? I said, I was. He said, you've had COVID. Your heart's racing a bit. Takes my cholesterol, 3.7. People say, you're a bit overweight. So what? Eli was an old man and heavy. That's what the Bible says. I'm just saying. That's the flesh. That's the grips you. Paul said to Timothy, physical exercise is of some value. The people who run miles and they say it's of some value because they put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. It's of some value. It's not of great value. Build up your inner man. Build up your inner man. They put me in a flat when I got here that's got stairs. Somebody visited me yesterday. They said, gee, there's a lot of stairs. I said, no, come on. This is easy, man. It's just the flesh, but it's that inner promptings that we get taken in by, that we get drawn to, the flesh. The flesh. What are the things of the flesh? Pride, unforgiveness, selfishness, revenge, depression. I'll tell you this. I used to think when people get depressed, get a life. That's what I used to think. And then I had to fight that thing called depression. I had to fight it. When my wife died, I had to fight it. Because you know what people did? They would come and they say, "Oh, shame, Jeff, man. You know, I'm really sorry. You know, oh, you know, it's South Africa. Oh, shame. How are you managing? Are you okay?" And you want the flesh pandered to that. And I began to like it. And I thought, yes, poor me. Nobody's ever been in my situation. Because I pandered to the flesh. And suddenly I found myself going into this black hole. And I thought, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm on the wrong path. And I had to stand up and fight. I had to stand up and fight. I'm not saying it's just the fight. But that's one of the fights we have. Unforgiveness. Selfishness. Anger. Those are the things of the flesh that keep me. I must keep going. Then we've got the devil. The poor devil gets blamed for everything. Well, I don't know if he's poor. The ruddy devil gets blamed for everything. And so he should. But sometimes it's the temptation, the lure of the world. And sometimes it's things I'm carrying in me that are causing my problem. And the enemy loves that because he just adds to that. He just keeps adding to that because he's the father of lies. He comes and lies to you. You remember what Vili said, about you? Yeah. He didn't mean it in a nice way. Because I'm carrying something against him because I misunderstood him. And the devil says, oh, yeah, be careful of him. He gets rid of people like me. Devils. The enemy lies. He's the father of lies. Put up John 8, 42, 47 for me. He says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me." Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. You've got to remember, you are going to be lied to. The Bible tells us day and night. Day and night. Even when you're sleeping, he comes and he accuses you. And he keeps accusing you. And he lies to you about what God thinks of you. And he lies to you about your position. Somebody said to me one day in my fight, they said, "You know what you've got to do? You've got to say to him, 'Listen, devil, I never want to talk to you. But this one time I'm going to tell you something. You have got no future. You keep reminding me of my past. You do not have a future. And I do.'" Now, shush, I was going to say shut up. Now shut up. Leave me. Fight him. Fight him. Don't listen to the lie. The devil will come at you and he'll keep going. Now, just go back to Romans 12, my friend. Can you do that? I mean, you sharp. Just roll it a bit. Okay, stay there. He says this, "Don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind." He says, when that happens, When you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Am I walking in the will of God? Get the word of God in you. Get the word in you. That's the Holy Spirit's food, is the word. Jesus said he will take from what is mine, the word, and make it known to you. And you feed yourself with the word. And the Spirit takes what's in you. And he enables you to stand on truth. Can you say amen? That's what God wants for us. That's how the devil comes against us. tell you that you're able to test. We renew the mind. We get the truth of God in us. Then we'll be able to discern. Am I walking in the will of God? You know when you walk, you don't know when you're walking in the will of God sometimes. But you know when you're not. Because you're miserable, old, grumpy, old git when you're not walking in the will of God. And you know it. But then you will ask the question because you've been a little bit deceived and you don't want to own it. Walk with God. Secondly, what are we fighting for? I'm so sick of fighting. Fight with my neighbor because he never cuts his grass, and fight with the other neighbors, fight with the people upstairs. What are we fighting for? We are fighting for the truth. We are fighting for the kingdom of God to advance. That's our fight. That's what we're fighting for. What is the kingdom? What's the kingdom of God? Jesus said to somebody, the kingdom, you're close. Kingdom of God, you're near you. What is the kingdom? The kingdom's not a geographical place where you're going to claim Mossel Bay for Jesus. It's not a geographical place, it's not a physical place. The kingdom of God is this. It's God's rule and God's reign in your heart. God's rule, God's reign, that's the kingdom. So we're fighting for the truth so that the kingdom will come to people. That means when they get saved, and then the kingdom comes and they join the church. And the church grows and the kingdom expands. And one day the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Because why? Millions will get saved. And the kingdom of God will advance. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is advancing forcefully. You don't sit on your blessed assurance and take it. You advance forcefully with it. You stand against these things. Can you say amen? Good. That's what we are fighting for. In Luke 11, 1-4, the disciples came to Jesus. They were praying. They'd stay there. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come. That's what we're fighting for the kingdom of God to come. And the kingdom of God begins in my heart, and it begins to expand, and it begins to overflow because I begin to walk in the truth. I begin to walk in the power of the Spirit. I begin to walk in the wonder of who I am by what Jesus has done for me. Can you say amen? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul, an apostle, brother, 13. Colossians 1, 13. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You were once in darkness. I was too. But the Bible actually says this. We were not even in the darkness. We were the darkness. Ugly thought, eh? We were the darkness. Now, when you look at people, you can see the darkness. Not unkindly, but you can see. Because the light of God hasn't yet shone in their hearts. There's a darkness in them. You look at people sometimes in their eyes. You know, the Bible says the eyes are the lamp of your body. This is a true story. I went to an optometrist once in my building when I still had a proper job in town. And we had... we had fluorescent lights in the office I was in, and my eyes, and I thought there's something wrong with my eyes. So I went to this guy, he's in the same building, nice man, German guy, and he put that thing, sorry, your wife's not here, praise God. So so he puts this thing in, and he's looking, okay, look there. There's no numbers, there's no nothing yet, just look. I think, he says to me, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. I said, what are you talking about? I can't see him, and my eyes jump. And he said, you're stressed. You're not a doctor, bro. He said to me, the Bible says the eyes are the lamp of your body. He said, I look into your eyes, and I can tell you what's wrong with you. Because the eyes are the lamp of the body. You look into some people's eyes, and you think, Hello? Nobody home. You know, the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead, that thing. And then you look into other eyes and you think, oh, there's life. There's life. That's what God does. He enables us. He's taken us out of this darkness and he's brought us into this light. And I met you guys and you met me. And the Bible says you have to love me and I have to love you. But we want to because we have the heart of Jesus in us, the life of Jesus by the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we were called out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. Woo! Thank God. You could still be that one who's trying to find out. I had a guy once come to me, and I knew his boss very well. Still in the, I wasn't full-time yet. I still had a proper job. And he came and he said to me, he's coming to, he wants to come and find himself because this friend of mine said, you must go to that church and God will find you. He said, I'm coming to find myself. I said, no, bro, you come here, you lose yourself. You don't find yourself. You get found by him. And he did. And we saw his life change. Many, all of us, on a day. I remember the day. 24th of September, 1974. I remember the day. Yeah, a few. And God's been kind. And the light came on and I saw it. And all my friends said, geez, what's happened to you? Have you gone off the rails? What's happened to you? Because light came. Light came. And the things that lured me in the world suddenly were not an attraction to me because God had come. Hallelujah. We are fighting for truth. The kingdom of God is not a geographical space. I must keep going. 15 minutes to go. I'm joking. It's always about the heart. It's always about the heart. What are we fighting? We're fighting for hearts. Hearts that will be malleable, that Christ can work with. Listen to this proverb. It says, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. Give me your heart. All of you that are married, there was a day when you gave each other your heart. You looked each other in the eye. And that was the day. And life from then on was going to be a bed of roses. Then you discovered roses have thorns. Do you remember that day? I got married on the 20th of November, 1971. I remember looking into eyes and thinking, Jeffrey, you are a very lucky boy. And she looked at me and she thought the same thing. And we drove away and it was amazing. And then a week later, it was a little different. Because we'd never lived together before. And, you know, when you leave undergarments and things, or you don't wash your dishes or, you know, whatever, you learn. You learn to walk with God. It's the same thing. He looked you in the eye on the day you got saved and he rescued you. And he said, you and me, we're going to do big things. And you said, yes. Come on, world, make my day. And then a week later, the devil attacked you. And you went to your pastor and said, I don't know what's wrong. I mean, I thought I was going so well. Now the wheels have fallen off and I've got a puncture. And now it's all, no. We've got to learn that relationships are something that are formed. We're fighting for truth. In my marriage, I'm fighting for the truth. With my marriage with Jesus, I'm fighting for the truth. When do we fight? All the time. You never stop. When you got saved, the fight began. The day or the night you got saved, the fight began. I remember my late wife took me to a meeting. I wasn't anti. She'd got saved in June of 1974. She took me to this meeting, and the walls were just full of charts. The Lake of Fire. He was doing a series in Revelation. They wanted to scare the hell out of me. That's how Catholics get holy water. You know that. They put in a kettle, boil it, they boil the hell out of it. It's holy. water, it's just water. Where do you get holy water? What nonsense. And there were these charts. And it was a Baptist church. A Baptist church. And there I sat, thinking, I'm okay. And the old man stopped this whole series. And for a Baptist to change on the night and preach what he felt God give him in the moment is a miracle. Because they've got 3 points in a poem every time. And he explained what it means to be a Christian. And I remember it well. I answered the call and I went to the back to the vestry, which is a religious name for an office, the back of a church building. And I went and I walked through the door and he was sitting there and he said to me, how long did it take you to come through the door? I said, a second. He said, that's how quickly Jesus wants to save you. Remember it clearly. And I was still smoking. Yes, I smoked. I was a Philistine. This was a Thursday night. On Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting at home having a fag. I mean, that's what you do. And I looked and here comes this dominie walking up. You've got to be joking. And you know what you did when you were kids? You put it, you quickly spray, get rid of the smoke, ashtrays. And I mean, it smelt like a flippin', I don't know, like a bar. And he walked in and, hello, just coming to check up on you. And that's when my conviction came. I thought, you can't play games. You can fool people, but you can't feel God. You can't feel God, fool God. When do we fight? Immediately. Immediately. Friend came to visit me about 3 nights later. I met him in the church. I've been in the church for 2 weeks. And he forgot his little 20s pack in his top pocket. So I went to him and I pulled it out his pocket and I scrunched it up and I said, follow me. And I went to the kitchen and I threw it in the bin. And I took mine, I scrunched it up and threw it away. And I said, from today, we're never smoking again. He said, okay. And we never did. Because conviction comes. The fight starts immediately. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10. I love this passage. Be self-controlled and alert. Hannes read it last week. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, I just love this scripture, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered a little while. Now, I don't know how long a little while is. Sometimes it's, in God's eyes, you know, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. We can't, in a little while. Listen to them. He himself will restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. When do we fight? Immediately. But I've got this one who doesn't just, he's not just with me. He's in me, empowering me, making it happen for me, bringing me to the place. Hallelujah. The joy is we have this inner strength. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. You remember we used to sing a song in Sunday school, joy, 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 with joy my heart is ringing. Remember the first time the guy sang it, they sang joy, 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 with joy my heart is ringing. I thought, there's no joy here. There's no joy here. In my heart there grows a lemon tree. That's what it looked like. Sour, sour, miserable Christians. No, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. This is a true story. I came to church one day. This lady came. She said, I feel God's told me I must preach. She said, I've been travailing in prayer all night. Sure, this is very impressive. I said, sure, okay. I said, now you're trying to be tactful. And I said, okay, and what did God say? She said, oh, many things, many things. Now she's really so serious and so miserable. And I said to her, so you say you've been praying all night? She said, I have. I said, you know, if you were with Jesus, if you were in his presence, you wouldn't be so miserable. And if you've been with him all night, you'd be quite ecstatic. So are you sure you pray to him? What do you mean, oh? It's a good question. Don't come here with your misery and tell me you've been with Jesus. It's impossible. That's what the Bible says. In his presence is the fullness of joy. You come here, an old miserable lemon-sucking person. No, don't give me that. Go and be with Jesus and he'll make you happy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, say amen. Amen. It's true, it's true, it's true. We get, oh, we can't say that. Day and night. I said, day and night we fight. Here's the answer. Revelation 12:11, you're on. They overcame him. This is the man's word. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. There's a lady I know used to be in my church. She's got cancer. She's in her 50s. And I've been praying for her. She used to be in my church long ago. I know well. So I'd send her a text. So just, how are you doing? Praying for you. Send me this message. 3 minutes message. Thank you so much. The doctors have said that nothing can help. And then she said this, but I'm not afraid of death. That's the Christian. That's what we've got to do. We must be afraid of death. Because the Bible says death has lost its sting. Death has lost its sting. The statistics on death is 100%. Nobody's going to escape. And when my wife died, God gave me Psalm 139. And in there it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came into being. So when it's my time, it's my time. Don't keep me alive. Don't put me on machines. If it's time to go, I'm out of here. I'm gone. You see, no, you can't. No, you can. I'm not going to succumb to the world's way of trying to keep people alive. I'm gonna believe my Jesus. If he wants to touch my life, boom, he can save it. He can heal it. He's the sovereign God. I trust him. Fourthly, how do we fight? I'm getting there. Quarter two, eh? I'm laughing at Mornay because there was this little thing. We preach too long. We preach too long. And I do. I'm guilty. I'm guilty like everyone. No, I'm guilty. How do we fight? Well, we've kind of just answered that, but go to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We don't fight as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, when you fight, have you ever wrestled with somebody? Have you wrestled somebody? You know, just play wrestle. You know, you wrestle. You learn things. You learn things. I mean, Aidan and Hannes, they wrestled at the night of our thing. And I watched Hannes, and he's sneaky, and he just tripped him. Because he's got a few tactics. But we learn how to fight with the spiritual weapons that God gives us. When I went to the army, I was a farm boy. I could shoot a rifle. Give me a rifle. You can't miss with a thing, man. It's a dead thing. It's lying. You don't even hold it. You put it on a stand. You look, and you pull the trigger, and poof, it's an oaks are shooting into the bank, and it's because they don't know how. So you equip them. You train them how to. That's what a soldier does. You go to army camp. They teach you how. They train you. I wonder about the army today in South Africa, but that's another story. In my day, they trained you, they equipped you, and they sent you to war. Now go and do what you've learned. So we teach you how to fight, and we send you into the big, bad, wide world. And the first shot that gets fired, you take cover and run for your life. And you run back where? To the pastor, and you say, "Freck, I got shot at." No, you Wally, that's what we've trained you for. You're going to get shot at because you're in the real world. You're in the real world. How do we fight? We train you. We equip you. That's why it's called 4:12. Equip the saints for works of service. What's part of the service? Overcoming the enemy, overcoming the devil, the flesh, the world. That's the part of it. Amen? We just want the good part. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Oh, we don't like that verse. I don't like that verse. The fight is spiritual. It's not physical. The fight is for our hearts, but it's in our minds. The fight is for our hearts, but it's in our minds. It's in our thought life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How do you think in your heart? I'll tell you another story, just quickly. This thing, your heart, offends the mind. The heart is the place where God speaks to you. And sometimes the mind says, whoa, 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 whoa. Have you been with young people that say, God spoke to me, and I'm going to Uzbekistan? And you think, you don't even know where that is, off you. Nor do I. It's near Russia. But they say these wild things because God spoke. And in your head, you're thinking, no, don't be. No, you, no, no. If God speaks to you in your heart, the mind can get offended. Because we work it out in a worldly way. But God takes hold of your heart and he puts his life in there. And he says, this is what I want you to do. Come on. I like that. The fight is over truth. The truth versus truth as man interprets it and shares it. You see, this is the truth. It's never the truth. But we interpret it like we want it. I was in a worship thing and the guy was playing this piano. Absolutely beautiful worship, wonderful. I went to him afterwards. I said, geez, bro, beautiful. You played beautifully. He said, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. I hate religion. I said, I could have sworn I saw you playing though. You know what I'm saying? Don't, what are you religious for? Own it. Yes, thank you. God has given me a gift. God has given me a gift. The truth versus the truth as man interprets it. Religion is puffy and ugly. And it debilitates us. It holds us back from the things God wants to do. The weapon of the world, the weapons of the world are to overpower, to dominate, to manipulate, and outmaneuver. That's the world's way. Even in the church, we don't do that. If you've seen Andrew put up a thing on Facebook the other day, how do we, you know, care for people? We don't dominate people, but we tell people truth. Sometimes the truth, you said what? No, I didn't say that. My late wife got saved before I did, and she was determined to get her whole family saved, and we used to go and visit them. And my brother-in-law was very anti, and so we would talk a lot about Jesus and the Bible. And we would say to him, yeah, but the Bible says, and one day he stood up in his lounge and he said, I am sick and tired of you coming here and telling me the Bible says. I'm sick and tired of it. I said, well, I'm sorry, but it does say that. What must I do? I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Because the truth, I know the truth, and the truth will free me. The truth will free me. The weapons we fight with are to humble ourselves, to die daily. What's our strap line? Dying to live. I love that. Die to what? My selfish ideas, ambitions, whatever. And allow God to show his resurrection power through us. Just put up Philippians 3:10 for me. Johan, you've been brilliant. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Oh, that's a big order. I can't do that. But the Spirit of God in me gives me that. Our weapons are laughed at by the world. But in the spirit realm, they are feared. I'll just drop one little thing in here. It's on my notes. If you don't pray in tongues, learn, get hungry for that. That's the best weapon you've got. Praying in tongues. Pray and pray and pray some more. It's a spiritual language. I don't know if it's true, but it's a rumor I'm going to spread. I don't think the devil can understand our tongue. So we speak, and the devil, Frick, what's going on now? Come on, devil, make my day. I've gotcha. No. Learn to pray in tongues. And if you do pray, pray, and pray some more in tongues. Lastly, are we qualified? Do I qualify for the fight? You're talking about, yes, we do. This is what Paul says to the Colossians. He says this, I'll read it to you. Giving thanks to the Father, listen, who has qualified you to share in his inheritance. When I was at school, we used to do things on sports day to get points for our house. You know, so I did shot put and discus and javelin. And so they said, try the 100 meters. I'll bear with you. Because the Bible says, don't you? So I said, cool, I'll try the 100 meters. Go. 2 yards. Don't make it. You've got to make special time. They say, have another shot. I tried as hard as I could. I couldn't get that time. I didn't qualify. And sometimes in life with Christ, we think, I'm not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. Neither am I. Of course you're not. You can't qualify yourself. No, Jesus came to qualify you so that you can share in the inheritance of the saints. So you qualified to share. Through what? Through what Jesus has done for you on the cross. We're going to celebrate now, Jesus coming. The greatest event in the history of the world. The greatest event in the history of the world. That's what's going to happen.